Talk, talk to me. WSRadio.com. Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right. Hey, we are back. Jesse, nice. The return of Jesse Egan.
Yeah, it's good to see you, buddy.
It's been a few weeks.
I know. I'm so sorry. I hate missing it, but I always love doing the podcast.
Yeah,
so.
It's fun. Last couple of weeks, I had Ryan Talmo, who's an L.A. guy.
Okay.
Very famous on the Facebook.
He's big on Facebook.
Yeah, he's a big Facebook guy.
He's sort of L.A.'s equivalent to Dave Callens. Is that how do we describe Ryan Talmo?
They do. They are like best buds.
Oh, they are? Okay. Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's why I thought that. Okay.
But he had an interesting story. He lives with two other girls, but he lives like high up, like so he can see into their bedrooms.
What?
Yeah. So they're all okay with them
they're
bringing
okay.
home girls and boys. I mean,
what?
He can see. Yeah. So
good Lord, Talmo.
Yeah. So that's it. He's an interesting guy.
I bet.
It was a good talk.
I don't know his act. Is it all about?
I've never seen him before.
On chicks?
No.
Okay.
He says he doesn't even look at it because they're like sisters now, which is even more creepy. But
that's getting grosser and grosser.
Yeah. So that
wow,
it was an interesting story.
Yeah.
So it's been about 3 weeks.
We've had some crazy stuff in between.
Yeah. What have you been up to?
Gosh, I've done so many random things.
Yeah, I told you that last night.
Yeah, just so many like traumatic random shows, you know, like comedy can be really a just such a roller coaster, you know,
of
like it seems good and then it's like heartbreaking, you know, just over and over. So, yeah, I did Lestat's, which was fun. You know, you've done Lestat's a million times. It's always a good time. So it was with Eric Myers and Rajan.
Okay.
Rajan is now doing Lestat's without Christian. So if anyone, I guess he's the guy to hit up for that.
Would you do like a feature spot or something?
Yeah, I think it was a feature. I don't remember if it was like just we're all guests for Eric.
Okay.
I don't know. I think it's just done that way.
Okay.
Which is that's the lineup. And then,
yeah.
But they did a road trip with Dave and Josh Nelson where we did the toughest show that we've ever done.
Oh, Dave,
all three of us.
Yeah. I kind of talked about it, but I didn't get your exact words.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, Josh does the wood. And,
right.
and we do Winston's.
Right.
And those are traditionally two of the craziest, rowdiest, roughest rooms.
Yeah.
And this one made that look like nothing. I mean, it was like 100 vatos.
What's a vato?
It was like gangsters, like Mexican gangsters. And they had like a hemp, or like a vape.
How did you even get this gig?
I think, through Aaron Stewart.
Okay.
I think Dave Wright got it with Aaron Stewart. So it was like a 6-hour drive to get up there to north of Fresno, which is Madera.
Mm-hmm.
And then, they had a DJ in the next room blasting music at like an 11. So the ambient noise in the actual room where we were doing comedy was like the highest level I've ever experienced. We were screaming into a mic that was cutting out.
Nice.
And they had a DJ in that room too, who would just randomly blast noise during your set. So you'd be like, so then I said, and you'd go, brrrr, and you're like, what the fuck is going on in here?
So it was just like a torture. They were
we
just
barely did
long.
Any material. We were just shouting, oh, it was fucked up, and dumb shit like that. It was just ridiculous.
How much time did you have to do?
I was supposed to do 30. I did 15.
Yeah.
I mean, it was insane. I can't even describe to you. There was like a guy in the back taking like photographs. He's like, 3, 2, 1, during the set. You know what I mean? There's guys like smoking vapes and like, I don't know what's going on back there.
Yeah.
It was just like, there was a woman who was catatonic at the front table. Like,
I doubt it.
Like she's in this beanie. She looks like she's a zombie.
Like comatose.
Right. But right next to her, two doors down from her, was a guy who had passed out in his seat. He was slumped over like dead. I was like, this is the most insane shit I've ever experienced.
How long did Dave Wright do? He normally
he did like 20 minutes.
Yeah,
I think.
He does his job.
He was great. They loved it. He turned into a black comic. I swear to God, I turned to Josh Nelson, like, I don't even know who he is right now. I mean, he had become deaf. We were calling it Deaf Comedy Jam, DEAF, because we're just shouting so loud in this room. Insane. Like, from now on, I'll never be like, Winston's is tough. Like, no, that's not tough.
So he'd be going up every week.
Yep.
There we go.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that was crazy.
Then you had a couple of shows last night, right?
I had a couple of shows last night. One in Vista for like art people in an art gallery, and then drive over to Carlsbad and do a show for like 100 cops with the gear. So it was a really weird like two shows, but they were fun. It was, you know,
made a little money.
A little bit of money. And I mean, the person, you know, here's one thing I guess I would pass on to comics. When you have two gigs, like, don't tell the first one. that you're going to a second gig because they get upset about it. They think you're not focusing on the first one.
Okay.
So our problem was that we had this gig. It went amazingly well at this art gallery. We did like 45 minutes for these people. They loved it. And then we went to the other place. But we had mistakenly told the booker that we had to get over to Carlsbad to do this other gig. So she took issue with it. She was mad. She texted later saying that we hadn't done enough time and why'd we have a second glass of wine and all this nitpicky shit. And I think it's basically because she thought we weren't putting all our focus into this.
Well, how much
one.
Time did they ask you to do?
They didn't really say. And we did about 45 minutes, which was eventually agreed upon. But she texted us like, you only did 35 minutes. I mean, she had left, so she didn't even know.
Right.
And the reaction from both the staff there and the crowd was like overwhelmingly positive. They loved it.
Yeah.
They all said they would come back and do it again. We gave them a full show. I mean, I could sense during my set, I did like a half an hour, that, you know, three quarters of the way through, they'd had enough. You can tell that sometimes, you know? But they were fully satisfied with it. She just wasn't. And I think it was because we had mentioned to her, also, we're going to go leave and go do this. Mm-hmm. If we had just said, we're going to do a meet and greet and hang out and just let it flow as it was, it would have been fine. We had enough time. So I guess that's my recommendation is, like, treat every gig like it's the only one you got that night.
Right.
And don't. You don't have to let the booker know, hey, I got to get out of here.
Right, right.
Unless it's like, you know, when it comes to that emergency point, you can go, oh, shit, I got to go right now. But up until that, I don't know if it's necessary to tell them.
They don't really need to know where you're going.
Not immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you think it's a huge issue. So that was something we learned from it.
Right.
So that was good. But otherwise, you know, I did this tonight in San Diego. I hosted that show.
Oh,
which is like a TV talk show.
That was pretty cool.
That was really fun.
Yeah.
That made me think, like, that's the dream job. If you could be a TV variety talk show host, I mean, of course, we're never going to get that. But that job is amazing. It's like they bring the guests to you.
Yeah.
I mean, you would love it. It's just right up your alley.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
Definitely something that I've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
I was talking to Keith Soule last night about, like, how I don't know if comedy's really – I'm not really enjoying comedy. I like doing this podcast. And I think if I could get like a radio gig like Adam Carolla or something, I think I would step away from stand-up.
I think you'd excel at that. I mean, I think that's something that you'd be great at would be interviewing people. Mm. And in that circumstance, it's like, it's all fun. There was a lot of preparation for it. I basically had to write the whole monologue and all the headlines for it. That's just because they don't have like a staff of writers yet for the show. So it was a lot of work. And if you were having to do that every week or every night, it'd be really difficult. But with writers, I think it's just really fun.
Yeah.
You know, you do a little monologue, you do some headlines, and you bring out these guests. I compared it to like when I was working in the bar, when you're a server, you go to them and you take their order. When you're a bartender, you're behind the bar, they come to you and they treat you with more respect.
Yeah.
It was that experience. It's like they give you this desk and they bring you these interesting guests.
Did they give you the suit or did you have to get the suit?
I had to buy the suit. So it was a cheap suit. It was like a $200 suit.
Still.
But man, I almost want to perform in a suit all the time now.
Yeah.
It really gives you more confidence. You feel great. Normally I look like a dumpy troll.
Right.
And maybe, you know, like Norelli, he performs like a sports jacket and a nice shirt with jeans. I don't know if that's not really me, but, you know, it sure felt good.
Yeah. I think it wouldn't work with your act.
It doesn't really work. And also, you might be stiff with the jacket trying to do act outs and physical stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But it did feel good to wear a suit. I'll tell you that.
I bet.
Yeah. I think you would be great at it, man. They next season, I don't know what they're doing for hosts, but, you know.
What happened to the regular host?
They had a regular host for the first two seasons. He left the show, and then they did all rotating hosts for this season.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why this season, Lauren O'Brien got to do one. I got to do one, and Dallas is doing the next one, which is the season finale.
Okay.
So then next season, I guess they're going to figure out who's going to host or just keep doing rotating. I don't really know.
Maybe I should send him a reel.
You might as well. I mean, I was like, hey, I'd like to be the full-time host, but after doing that much work, I'm like, I don't know if I could do that and stand up. It's like.
Yeah.
Full time, you got to work on that and memorize the stuff for that
monologue
whole week.
Jokes are tough.
Yeah, so. They can be really corny, you know, but they're fun to write.
Yeah.
And it's fun to work on the headlines because, you know, we don't really do a lot of topical stuff in our act because that stuff goes away so fast. You can't, like, do it week to week. But on a show like this, it makes sense. So you can go, these are the headlines and do these jokes that are like one time only jokes, which is kind of cool because that's the kind of thing you and I are like, it's quick to come, you know, you can't use it in the act. But you could come up with something fast and funny just on, you know.
And it is dumbed down comedy, which is supposed to be the monologue stuff, I think. So.
Right. Exactly. Not too controversial.
Yeah.
Either, you know.
But, well, my week, I just did Winston's this week. I've been taking the
store? What happened to the store?
They had a Toys for Tots show on Thursday. And then Wednesday, I was supposed to have my work Christmas party, which I didn't end up going to.
Why not? Was that not at the store, but at the other work?
Yeah. The place that appreciates me. Ended up breaking up with, well, the girlfriend broke up with me that day, and she was supposed to be my date, so.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was for the Christmas party?
Yeah. Whatever. Anyways, but Winston's last night was, it was better than I expected.
Yeah, I heard it was really good.
The two headliners didn't really promote at all, so I didn't expect it to be. But one of the features brought some people, and I actually talked to a guy outside that came last week. And he came again this week with some friends and said he's really enjoyed it, and this is going to be his Friday spot.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah.
Adam Wolpe also said he had the best set of his life pretty much last night at Winston's.
That was the best I'd seen him do.
I haven't heard that maybe ever. But
your best set was at Winston's?
Yeah, right. But I was so stoked to hear that, and just seeing him smile, that was really cool. So.
Well, before we go to the break, we had a lot of... in our guests.
Hey.
Al Gavry,
buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, buddy.
Sorry, I was busy taking notes. This is like comedy college right here.
Oh, I'm so sorry to banter for so long.
I got some good stuff. And then your girlfriend's single, huh?
No, I'm just kidding. God.
Aren't you here with your wife?
He's very good.
My girl's here in the room. I'm just kidding, hon.
Oh, my God. Al, it's good to see you, buddy. Did you have some shows this week?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, tonight we have Comedy Heights. That's my show that I have, and it's my birthday extravaganza.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
When's your actual birthday?
It's December 15th.
Okay.
It'll be a week from now, but I'll actually be on vacation.
Oh, where are you going?
Well, my girl's treating me to a nice vacation out in Huntington Beach.
Well, hopefully she still is.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I know. Now that might be different. I might be up at Motel 6.
That's so funny. Comedy Heights is a fun show.
Yeah, we've done it co-headlined a couple of times.
Yeah, that's fun.
Who do you have on tonight?
Tonight we have Kurt Swan headlining. And I also believe, I forgot who's the feature tonight, but I'll tell you. It's going to be a good show.
We're going to find out after the break who else is on the Comedy Heights.
Hey, it's your birthday. You don't need to know who else is on the show.
You're the important one.
Yeah. Did you have anything else or just that?
Coming up?
We'll find out
after the break.
Yes. Listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in internet talk. Be back in 3 minutes. I think the timing's a little off because I think the music's going a little loud. So, which sandwiches? You can get a 6-inch or a 12-inch which sandwich. 3 minutes. We'll be back. Bye.
Which?
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. Second segment with Jesse and Al. So, Al, how long have you been doing comedy now?
Well, that's kind of a funny question. I started out close to 12 years ago.
Okay.
But, it was like a brief second. It's like I came out, I did a couple sets.
It was in San Diego?
It was, I started out over here at the La Jolla Comedy Store.
Okay.
And I'd go on there, open mic nights, and try and cut a few things. And right after that, they had the first season of Last Comic Standing, so I got busy trying to watch that and didn't even bother to go do the open mics.
Got busy trying to watch that?
I was in Pacific Beach. That's how we roll. But after that, I dropped out just because I was doing work and working corporate, trying to fit into the suit that you look good in. And, I popped back in about 2011, and I've been going strong since.
Okay, nice. So 12 years ago would be 2002. So you basically took like 9 years off?
Wow. Yeah.
How many times did you actually do it before you kind of hung it up?
I had probably about 4 or 5 sets.
Okay. Yeah. Did something happen that you're like, I don't know if this is for me?
Took me in the back room and it was very quiet. No. It was just, I think at one point, the first set I had, the comics were very supportive, which I was kind of.
Do you remember who the
comics
were back then?
No. I remember some of the comics that I remember seeing, like Goulden was there, Wally Wang.
Uh-huh.
He was there. I would see certain comics there, but the open micers, I would see the same repeats. And I started out, and the other comics, the ones who were working staff, were supportive, told me to come on back.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. And after, I think it was my last set, I hadn't learned at that point that you need to keep bringing up new things. You can't just come and do the same stuff over and over again. And they were trying to teach me that lesson. So when I got up to do my set, they were screaming out my punchlines.
Really?
Yeah.
Who, do you remember specifically who was doing that to you?
I have no clue. There was a group of comics sitting in the back corner, and they were just spouting out my punchlines.
They do that when Chip goes up. I don't know if you've seen his fried chicken bit, but they
took it as a negative.
Tend to scream that.
But later on, I learned it was like training, and that's in a sense.
But
like,
still a negative.
Yeah, I know.
Still a negative.
I was trying to bring in a positive. But it
helped you.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It did. And by the time I came back on the scene, I think one of the first people I met was you and both Jesse Egan and Jeff Bilodeau. And you guys are very supportive.
100% negative, yeah.
No, you guys are great. Yeah. You guys are great.
Thanks, man.
Were there crowds in the audiences back then?
Yeah.
There were some crowds. At that time, there wasn't very many venues. That was one of the only venues here in San Diego. So if you wanted to see comedy, that was the place you went. Right. So there was some crowds. I mean, there was people in the audience.
That's good. Do you remember your jokes?
Yeah, they weren't very good. I think one of them I did, which was I said that I wondered if you were in some of these Asian countries where they eat dogs, mm-hmm. that if they had that at the drive-thru. And I said that if you just pull up and say, yeah, I'd like
dog. Classic.
I'd like a border collie with cheese and a puppy meal.
I like puppy meal. That's funny.
Yeah. After that, I realized that it wasn't very funny.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want people for years making fun of Asian people at the store. That's not a
people Yelp
thing
review about that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good. Exactly. You guys get Yelp on the
Comedy Heights?
Oh yeah, we got very good Yelp review. Oh,
didn't you find one?
Yeah, we got a good review one time we were on.
The one time we co-headlined, he actually dug up a good Yelp review of us.
Yeah, you guys are great. I love when you guys do your duo.
It's good to have a good review.
It was a little rough the last time we did it though.
Was it the very last time?
Yeah. It was hot. It was in the summertime, and it was like
it's very hit or miss. Are we gonna do that Friday? Do you want to go up together?
We haven't done it in a while.
All right, cool.
We have to get together and
there
you go.
I'm finishing that poster for that.
By the way, Jesse, I got to say, you do look good in a suit.
Thanks, man.
And I know this personally because my girl was going through Facebook and saw the picture of you, and the response she gave was, "Oh, look at Jesse! And look at that! Look at him in a suit."
That's the response I was going for.
Yeah, it caused concern.
Was this actually concern? Was it actually you that said that?
Yeah, right.
I got to admit,
that's funny. Do you ever perform? You dress up more than most comedians. You work clean, right, for the most part?
Yeah, I work mostly clean.
And I mean, you guys usually dress a little snazzy. Does it constrict you at all?
Not at all. I feel very comfortable. Like when I'm dressed nice, I feel like I'm presentable. I'm there to kind of do business.
Feel like a professional?
Yeah, I feel like a professional.
I always think it's funny that, you know, even a lot of the LA comics and stuff that come down, they always wear those thin little hoodies. Mm. And it always looks like they just rolled out of bed and like they're wearing pajamas almost. And like, I feel like that's the professional comedian uniform almost, is to look like a slob, but but not the ones on TV though, right?
I think it has to fit your style.
Yeah.
You know, like I have had girls that have tried to get me to dress up more on stage, but it doesn't fit my material.
I see.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know that it would go with my act either.
Just like, you know, Gene DeBruler used to wear a suit, but he's talking about spaghetti and what was the other one? So that was just seemed strange.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, but I think
it would have seemed strange regardless of how he dressed.
True, but I think he was doing it to be ironic, I think.
Oh, okay.
Because he's dressed up real nice, but he's talking this really silly stuff.
Yeah, I wonder if, like, if you started dressing up all the time, if you would be forced to change your material to suit that character. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I need to write new stuff anyway, so I don't know if it's that. Let me write some suited and booted stuff. I don't know.
Suit material?
Yeah.
So what brought you back in 2011?
Well, actually, I had a big health scare in 2010.
Okay.
And when that happened, I realized, time on this earth is a little short.
Right.
And get out there and do something I was natural at. I was a class clown in high school. I've always been a smart ass, funny guy, and trying to make everyone laugh. And I figured if I'm good at it a barbecue, why couldn't I be good on stage? And I really put my mind to it, sat down, wrote some stuff. I learned the trade, you know. I learned not only that you want to say something funny, but how you got to phrase it and your editing.
Did you take Tony and Maria's class? Or
No, actually, this was before Tony and Maria's class.
Okay.
I think the first set I did back on stage after 9 years, Jesse Egan was in the crowd. It was at this place, Bar 11.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and a buddy of mine that I had gone through National Comedy Theater with, Dylan Boisvert.
Yeah,
okay. He invited me out to do 5 minutes. He said, you know, I could tell that this is something you can do. I want you out here. And he gave me 5 minutes. And this is he was a young kid at the time. He was 19. I'm in my 30s.
Yeah.
And I said, well, all right. I went out and did 5 minutes. And then afterwards, you were outside. And you were telling me, like, hey, you seem pretty natural at it. What do you mean you've been gone for so long? You know, you seem pretty good. And that gave me the encouragement. The next set I did was with a group I worked with for the next, like, 2 years, Brouhaha.
Oh, okay.
And
is that – okay, so that group, that's Chris Klauber?
Diane Jean.
Right. And the Brouhaha show is – when is that? That's – Is that a weekly show?
It was a weekly show. It's been on hiatus for a little while. Okay. I don't know where the status with that is.
Same group that did Haritnas? Is that another venue?
Yeah, they did Haritnas. Okay. As a matter of fact, they were at the venue where I do Comedy Heights at. And when they decided to leave, they said, hey, you want to take this venue? And I created Comedy Heights. When we did that, we both took on Haritnas, and it became Ha Ha Heights, which I never agreed with. I was like, that sounds dumb.
He did not agree to that.
No. But that group, they taught me the value of clean comedy and how we run our clean shows.
And I think that's how you've built a really good, consistent show, too, is sort of sticking with that theme. Because that Comedy Heights show has really become something great. I mean, it's a small room, so you get 30, 40 people, it's full. And then they get a consistent product so they can come back every week and not be really disgusted by anything.
Yeah.
Because it's an older group for the most part.
It can be an older group.
Younger,
group
it's everything.
I mean, guess
it's like
a,
everyone there.
Last
time
it's all
there was
ages,
a kid in the
it?
Front row with his grandmother. You
That's
know?
True. Which, again, lends to, you know, you should be clean for that group, I think. You know?
I just never liked going into an audience and bringing somebody and then hearing something that made you feel uncomfortable and then having to be with that person like, oh, shit, Mom, I'm sorry I brought you here. You know?
Yeah.
And with the clean comedy, we found we were able to get more people out. But more so, it was just trying to find a different niche. You know, there's all these shows that have a different niche. They all take over a certain portion of it. I know I've been to Winston's. I love that show. It's out in the beach area, and you got that whole beach vibe going on. That's the niche that you guys
have. Yeah, our niche is like keep the window open and get heckled by homeless people on the sidewalk.
And that could be the fun of it. You know?
Yeah, there is some definite. I mean, we had something we did for a while with Zach Dave, which was having him give feedback on our little contest and stuff, and I thought that was one of the real unique ways of harnessing his, you know, craziness.
He wasn't there last night.
No, he's not doing so great recently health-wise. I think he's got to quit drinking himself. But but anyway, but maybe we can bring him back into you know, giving his feedback, which is always really funny.
Life is short. Yeah. So did you tell anybody that next time that you went up?
What about
like friends are to come watch you?
Yeah.
No, actually, I wanted to kind of keep it quiet just until I knew I wasn't going to be that shitty comic on stage trying to, you know, make something of nothing.
It's pretty wise decision.
And the encouragement I got from the veterans, Chris Klauber and the other comics that I was working with that had been doing this for over 20, 25 years, they kind of shaped the little rough edges, and I was able to build a good set. Once I had a great set, then I was inviting everyone out.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's smart. Yeah. I noticed that whole group seems to work with that fan a lot. It seems to me like people come up with a group and they kind of stick with that group, and then they do a lot of shows promote, like the Dat Fan group I see is always, you know, a lot of rotating people, the same people, but they don't go outside of that group. It seems to me. I don't know. I've never done a show with him, but I see a lot of people doing it, and it's sort of in that vein.
Well, he brings in some fresh faces. He likes to bring in new people.
Right.
And
AKA bringers.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
And he likes to kind of keep the show moving because, you know, he takes up about 45 minutes of the set.
Oh, I didn't
so
know
the
that.
Rest of us get like about maybe 10 minutes.
I see.
But one thing is working with him, he teaches you business of
comedy. Well, doesn't
even
have, don't you have to take his class before you be on the show?
No.
He did that. He used to do that at the Palace.
Oh, really?
He would have to take his promoting
class.
Well,
he did that for me. He asked for my email and stuff, and then he was like, okay, we've got this seminar at this time. I'm like, well, I got a show. I can't go to a seminar, but thanks. I mean, you didn't book me for anything, but, you know, I was like, if I was on a show with you, I guess I would. I don't know. So I think because I didn't do that, we've never worked together, but.
No.
Anyway,
I think we got 30 seconds.
Do we have 30 seconds?
We're going to play it out. I got to get with Wade after this.
Okay, cool. A lot. Anyway, so that group kind of has stuck together.
They have. I mean, there's a lot of us that work together, but we all like the stage, so we'll go wherever the.
It's a fun group. Those guys are always real nice.
Well,
I don't know. So, which sandwiches, folks?
All right, we'll be back in 3 minutes. WS3.com, the world is up.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. Third segment with Al Gavvy.
Hey.
So, Al, do you still work in the corporate world?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
What is your job during the day?
Accounting.
Accounting.
It's so exciting.
Okay. You're not getting a lot of material out of that.
I think that's why I went back into comedy. Uh-huh. I was sitting there staring at my Excel spreadsheets going, there's more to life than this.
I heard a story about the guy from the Hangover movies the Asian
yeah.
comedian that like really blew up. That the same thing that he had a corporate job.
Well, he's a doctor.
He's a doctor.
Oh, yeah, okay. He was a corporate doctor. I don't have my story straight, but anyway, he had a real job that paid real money, I guess. And then his wife got sick and went through cancer and things like that, and that made him realize. And she encouraged him to go out and do what he loved, and that's what got him to leave
that
world.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. Like, the, you know, but it was the same with you where you had a health scare kind of thing and then yeah. it sort of inspired you to do what you love also.
You know, there's people out there who will tell you, oh, I didn't do this until this happened to me. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, I'm going to go skydiving. I'm yeah. going to go out and see the
Haley
world.
Haley Nicole was like that, right? Mm-hmm. Haley?
Yeah.
That had sort of another health scare. And then she's like, I'm going to go out in there and live and do all this crazy stuff.
And her and I
travel.
Talked about that. Yeah. Actually, her and I have talked about the fact that that health scare just kind of really lit a fire under our yeah. ass to go out and do something that, I mean, we as comics, we all know that it's like a natural setting for us and you flourish. And when I started back into comedy, it flowed out. It
yeah.
really did. I guess I had a lot more to say in my 30s than I did in my 20s.
That, so. Yeah, that's possible.
what kind of name is Gavi?
Gavi?
Gavi.
It's actually, it could be Italian, yes. it's Colombian.
That's what you are, Colombian?
Yeah, Colombian.
Oh. But you grew up, were you born in San Diego?
I was born right here in San Diego, Benita, California.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you lived anywhere else?
I did live in Davis, California, which is right outside Sacramento.
Okay.
And that's where I went to college. I went to UC Davis.
Okay.
I lived up there for about 5 years before I realized this is a shitty place. I moved back to paradise.
Okay. Do you use your Colombian heritage at all in your act?
Oh, all the time.
You
all
do?
Well, because being Colombian here in Southern California is odd. People come to me and then they immediately think like, oh, what part of Mexico are they from?
I see.
I'm like, oh, Cartagena.
You can pull off a lot of different nationalities, though.
Yeah.
Think, you know,
when I was in Europe, I think they someone did a sketch of me and they tried to sell it to me for like 30 euros.
Okay.
And I'm looking at the sketch and I'm like, why do I have a turban on my head? oh, okay. And he was trying to change it around. I'm like,
that is kind of an advantage if you're brown at all, that you could play like a bunch of different races. And
yeah,
stuff,
different
you know?
Roles. You could definitely pull off Native American.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Like, Maya Rudolph on SNL. They just used her for every race. I just think that's really cool. You know?
Yeah.
In your act, though, you talk about, do you do Colombian stuff and stereotypes and coffee and cocaine and all that stuff?
That's the difficult part. The only Colombian I have to reference off of is my father. My father's from Colombia. My mother's from San Diego forever.
Right.
But my father, he brings in this weird aspect of Colombia. Even Mexicans who talk with him, they try and speak Spanish with him, they can't understand him.
Really?
Like, you talk too fast, sir.
It's a different Spanish.
It
really?
Is. Yeah. He talks with the rhythm. So like he's, ah, and I'm like sitting there like dancing in the background. I'm like, I don't know what he's saying, but man, this has got rhythm.
This is catchy.
I need some bass on this.
That's awesome. I like that. Do you do that? I think that's a funny bit.
Well, what I think is funny is my father is now, he just turned 70, and he's been here since he was 14 years old. But he still talks like this. He still has this accent. So when I talk to him, he's like, ah, oh, you know, Albert, the other day I was out here, I was doing this, and this guy pissed me off. And I'm sitting there, how do you still have an accent?
Yeah.
How did you not lose that? Like, that should have been the first thing lost.
That is funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger has been in the country since, like, the dawn of man. He cannot lose that accent. It's
no.
It's so weird to me.
But that's his moneymaker. And the same with my father. I always mimic him on stage.
Uh-huh.
And he's come to a few shows, and afterwards he'll talk, and people go, you sound like that.
Maybe they don't try to get rid of the accent because it's really part of their identity, you know? That's
true.
I feel like, if I lose that, that's losing something of me.
Yeah.
Jeff, you know, in his act, he brings out the Maine.
But not consciously.
No. Well, no, but I mean, it's good though. That accent, it's a selling point. It makes it funnier, yeah. You know?
Is Al a typical Colombian name?
Yeah, Al. Everyone's named Al over there.
Alvin?
Yeah. Al Franken, you didn't know? He's Colombian.
is Al short for?
Alberto.
Alberto.
Oh,
but
okay.
That's the thing is growing up in California, I never went by that.
No.
No, never went by that. I always went by Al.
Yeah.
So people, Alberto, if they call me at like the DMV or something, I'm like, huh? What?
Who's that?
That's me.
Do you get that too? Like other Mexican people or Spanish come up to you and just start speaking Spanish?
Yeah, all the time. They start speaking Spanish right off the bat, and I'll stare at them and go, no bueno.
You don't speak Spanish?
No, I don't. That's the big secret behind my act is I don't speak Spanish.
You speak Colombian?
Yeah, I do.
He speaks Colombian.
It's a lot of
Is that not a language? Am I too dumb?
It's Spanish. Oh. But it's with another, he was saying like a different dialect sort of, or
oh,
a different
like
rhythm.
What yeah. I do is I always lower my voice down to a whisper and I talk really slow. And then they're like, oh, so you're Colombian? Yeah, I'm Colombian.
Colombian.
Because it's the way we all talk in the movies.
Juan Valdez.
Yes.
That is a central way to do it.
Have you visited Colombia?
No, I have not. I heard it's beautiful. There was some beheadings going on there, so I wasn't quick to like take the flight down. But I've heard it's beautiful. We're from Cali, Colombia, and Medellin.
Okay, is that something you want to get to, but before you die?
I do. I would love to go visit.
What, you're waiting for them to stop beheading people?
Once the beheading stop, then? Yeah. No,
is there a beheading season?
Like, yeah, I believe it's October.
It's October.
So we're just out of it.
Dia de los Muertes.
Exactly. That's what happens.
And beheadings. Yeah.
And
I got
then
you.
They have turkey. And it's all
so after that season's over.
That's exciting. Goodness. So what's a typical week for you? Do you go up during the week or is it mostly just you focus on the Ha Ha Heights show?
There's no more Ha Ha Heights show.
Okay.
What I do is I actually have a radio broadcast here in San Diego and we record that on Mondays.
Okay.
And then they play it throughout the week. So Monday nights is usually that broadcast. I work.
What's that? What's that show?
It's called You Missed. It's on 89.1 FM here in San Diego.
Great.
And we're doing the commute home. It's Tuesday, Thursdays, commute home, and then they play us over the weekend.
Okay.
Is it like a talk show, series?
We cover the news. We go over different news topics. And, you know, it's Diane Jean, Chris Klobber, myself, Robert Weems, Kai Kapatria, and our intern, Lucas. We actually get an intern.
Okay.
That's one of the perks. And we'll go over news stories and do a few skits. We have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We've been doing our radio show now for 3 years.
Okay. And how'd you get into that?
Well, I did radio when I was in college. Okay. I was on KDVS up in Sacramento area.
Okay.
And when Diane Jean and Chris Klobber had the opportunity to go to a radio station in Alpine, because we know that's the happening place, they said, you know, we'd like you to come out because you have experience. And I was doing the boards for them. And within a week, I was one of the main DJs. We got an intern then, taught them the boards, and okay. went from there.
Is that a paid gig or is that something you do for fun?
We'd like to get paid.
Okay.
Would you like to pay us? No, it's not paid. Actually, 89.1 is KNSJ. It's a community radio station.
Okay.
So we even have to watch lines about doing commercials and we get underwritten. We have underwriters.
Okay.
So,
huh. So could you sell spots if you wanted?
I don't believe they would have to underwrite the radio station or something. I'm not too much into the those aspects of it. I just go and make funny.
Okay. So Mondays you do that. Are you trying to get up any other days?
Usually on Wednesdays I leave open for another show. We have another Comedy Heights show on Fridays and at the Reds in Point Loma. It's a different Reds. And I've been going out to Dan Bublitz's Shooters. Comedy night on Thursday nights, kind of hash out new stuff and, you know, talk shop with everyone.
Yeah, I think, I still am trying to remember if I did Shooters. I've done a couple of these new things like Peabody's and the Oceanside one.
I think you did
Peabody's.
The Trim Street, whatever the heck, the Oceanside. Heather Marie Zagone has a few new shows.
Yeah.
Which brings me to one question I was going to ask you. The thing that I love about your show, Comedy Heights, and some of these other ones is like, this is not a bar show that people are being hijacked into. And I really noticed the difference, as you already know, that like if people come to see comedy, even in like that art gallery thing last night,
right.
They're more receptive than like the second show, which had 100 people, right? A bunch of cops. They're sort of being hijacked because they're there to like have this corporate thing and a dinner and fun and stuff. And then we get up and start talking at them. It's the secondary. It's like entertainment secondary. It's so much better when people come to the show for comedy. And I think I would sort of encourage people not to continue these bar shows where they hijack people into it. I mean, even Winston's, we charge $5 a door. These are people coming in to hopefully see the show.
That's what happened last night. It was tough as the show went on because the door guy stopped charging people. So at like 8:30 when Jamie and Keith went up, there was just people in the bar hanging out.
Right.
So that made it tougher for them.
Because you're hoping to turn them into listeners, but they're generally not there for that, so it's almost impossible to get them to care.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you decide when you go out what you're out for, And if you're not really going out to see comedy, it's so hard to turn those people.
You know, when I was in college, I read this book called Zen and the Art of Stand-Up Comedy that I already was preparing. I was kind of a nerd, all right? And I'm reading this book. Okay, maybe I still am, all right? In the book, he talked about investment and that the crowd needs to be invested in the comedy show. So in there, he mentioned about, like, cover charges.
Yep.
And he says a lot of people, you know, a lot of times like bars, they don't like to charge a cover charge to come see comedy. But what he said is you get a lot of people coming into that bar who are just there to drink.
Yeah.
And then the comedy is just secondary. It's kind of going on in the background.
And they generally disrupt the show.
Exactly. Exactly. But if they're invested in the show, they're more apt to pay attention because now they've paid to be there.
Yeah.
And in our case, Comedy Heights is a free show.
Yeah.
The investment comes in the fact that they come out to this room. There's no restaurant. There's no bar.
Right.
They come out to see comedy, and their investment is the fact that they come out and sit down, and we have to present a good show.
Right.
And we have a lot of return people because it's a free show, but at the end, you know, they throw in money and we
yeah, I mean, that one's free, but like you say, there's no other reason for them to sit in
exactly.
that room. They're not going to sit in that room.
I know I look good, but
yeah,
that's not the reason why they
come
out.
But in a bar show, like, they can come in, they want to get food, they want to get drinks, they want to socialize, pick up chicks, whatever it is. Comedy is the last thing that they're looking for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So, but I think I've said that to Josh about The Wood. I think briefly they charge because it's the same thing.
Break here. All right, you listen to WSRadio.com. Worldwide Leaner Talk. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Bye.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, it's already the last segment.
Wow, it's gone by fast today.
Flown by with Al Gavi.
Some good coffee you served me.
Yeah.
It's Colombia.
It is Colombia.
We were talking about hijacking shows. Actually, the show I'm doing tonight will probably be that situation.
What is the show tonight?
It's at the Blackthorn in Claremont.
The poster. Okay.
Yeah.
Blackthorn.
Now, that was one that you set up that's going to be comedy and improv, right?
Yeah. I'm going to do like 2 stand-ups, improv, a couple of stand-ups, and then a long-form improv.
Okay.
Nice.
That could be cool.
To see.
You know what we didn't – what I didn't mention, I guess, is the upside to the hijacking? You know, like, for instance, I did one with Heather Marie that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's like – at least there's a crowd.
Right.
I mean, that would be the positive, is that you're hijacked. There's actually some human beings in there, as opposed to like having an empty room and hoping people will come.
Right.
So I guess that would be the upside if it goes well, but those shows can go so badly at the same time. So tonight, I guess, would be an interesting thing to see if it does better by integrating improv too.
I think improv will help. That's why I chose to do that, because improv is more, you know, interaction with the crowd, and they feel like they are part of the show.
Right.
Which a lot of times, if you're just throwing, hey, there's stand-up, the people, it's anti-you versus them. But
right.
if there's improv, they can be a part of it, and hopefully that will help.
Yeah, because what I noticed at those bar shows is, like, if you do involve them, like, you start actually talking to them and doing mostly crowd work, mm-hmm. it can do well.
Right.
But if you go up and start telling them what a bad audience they are because you're assuming that this is a comedy club,
right.
which it's not, then it goes badly. But maybe in this case, you know, if you go up and say, we're doing this improv thing and we're going to involve you guys, maybe you could really turn a hijacked show into something good.
I'm hoping.
Yeah.
But
let me know.
I have low expectations.
Yeah,
it's that investment that you're talking about. Now you're investing in the crowd by getting them involved in the improv.
Right.
Yeah. So do you start with stand-up and then go to improv?
I'm going to host it and do a little bit, probably tell them about the show
cool.
and kind of, and then do one stand-up and then improv.
And then striptease.
Yeah.
That's added in there.
And you got Venti and a couple other improv type people.
Yeah,
on there?
Venti and Barbara and Veronica and Jazz. And then I got Cameron and Dewey's on the show.
That's cool. I heard Cameron was great yesterday.
Yeah, he did well too.
Yeah.
I went up after him. He had this weird thing where he kept trying to untangle the cord on the mic stand for like, and then just would quit and then would try it again. And then, so I called him Cameron Cord Dice Man after.
And then, I heard he seems to get funnier and funnier. Bajan told me on the Peter Bandick Palace headlining mm-hmm. thing that Cameron was a standout on that too. I mean, I just think he's getting so comfortable in his character and who he is on stage that it's just coming naturally now.
Yeah.
You know? Because it's not really the material anymore. It's just how goofy he is.
Yeah, all of his jokes. It's kind of the same thing as Matt Burke.
Yeah.
You know, and if I'm doing Matt Burke's material, it's not going to go well. But it's just because you like being around him.
Right.
You know?
You know, sometimes
you just gotta come.
That's one of his jokes, right? That's it. It's, I don't even know if he writes his jokes down on paper.
He's that's what like, it's funny too. Same thing with Cameron. It just seems so free flowing
right.
the entire
like,
time.
What does Matt Burke's set list look like? Just he just writes the word jizz.
Jizz.
And that's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Sometimes you gotta come.
Well, he does have his standard closer, which is, guys, it doesn't matter how big your dick is, she's still going to bitch at you.
I love that. It's so funny. It's so funny.
It's just random.
He's a great dude.
My girl's nodding her head, so.
She's in agreement. She's agreeing with that.
It's
that's
very
so
true.
Funny.
So going forward, I mean, are you planning to move outside of San Diego? Or
That's the tough part when you're working, when you actually have a 9-to-5 job, is mm-hmm. it's hard to go out on tour, but I was talking with, I did a couple USO shows with Pat DeGeer.
Okay.
Cool. And on the road, that guy, he just drops knowledge on long trips. So if you can, yeah. you know, get lost because you'll learn a lot.
Get lost.
And when I was with him, he said, hey, you know, if you want to make money, you really want to go through with this, you want to be a comic, you really have to hit the road. You have to travel. You have to get out there. I think the most recent road trip I did was just over the holidays recently. I did some comedy out in Washington State.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I found this little niche place, Frednecks.
So, part of what he says, too, it's like you don't just hit the road, obviously. You actually book stuff and then hit the road.
Yeah.
Right? So,
yeah well, yeah. I mean, you book a tour. Like, you've done a lot of tours. Both of you guys have done some tours. You know, you book the shows. You get out there. But you get your name in different spots.
Yeah, that's a good
and
point.
And then when they hear your name or they see your face, people in that area are going to connect and they're networked within all the people around there. So you're
sure.
eventually doing yourself good. If you're
so what was the Washington State scenario like? What was that venue? I mean, how did you book it? And
oh, well,
set that up?
My girl is a great business partner of mine. And we went out there to go see her family.
Okay.
And she's like, hey, you know, let's go out and have a good time. There's only one bar in this area. And we went out to the bar. Met the owner, and she had a couple beers in her, and she's like, hey, listen, he does comedy. And the guy's like, well, really? Well, we're having a show tomorrow. And then she's like, good, he'll be on it.
Nice.
And I got booked out there that way. Now I have a bunch of friends and some
followers. You don't ask, huh? You just tell them what to do?
Yeah.
And she's nodding. Yeah.
That's
smart.
How it works.
That's my approach with the audience, too. Don't ask them shit. Just tell them.
Just tell them.
Yeah.
Do you sell any merch?
That is the next step where I there's a lot of ideas for the merch I could sell. I do a joke that where I make fun of Indian call centers and, you know, some of the punchlines and stuff I wanted to add to merch, some coffee mugs or things like that. But,
yeah, I think coffee would be a good, any kind of, you know,
anything.
If you liked my act, try
I'm Colombian, so.
Rich Colombian blend of.
Rich Colombian blend of Indian coffee.
Right.
But again, that's where, you know, that's the bread and butter for a lot of comics is selling
his merch. Yeah.
It's a house for Patrick DeGeer.
Yeah, exactly.
More than bread and butter.
Totally.
So coming up towards the close here, standard couple of questions that we ask. What's the worst show you've ever had?
The worst show I've ever had. That's a good question. I'm going to leave Winston's out of this. And I don't say it because it's a great show. But again, I do clean comedy.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you do clean comedy in a bad place, not in a bad place. Clean comedy in a place where they're expecting a little dirty.
Yeah.
It doesn't go over well. I think probably one of the worst shows I had was out in it was a club in L.A. I think we just popped by really quick. It was early on in my comedy career. Everyone was taking these little short trips up, and I can't even remember the name of the bar. There was a bar out in Garden Grove. And we drove out there real quick, and they were like, yeah, we're going to be like L.A. comics now.
Who else
did
you go with, do you remember?
Gosh, at the time, I don't know. I think Dan Bublitz had invited me out, but I went separate. Gina Manning.
You do not want to drive with him.
Yeah, Gina Manning was I think she was the one who went out with me.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was probably, and it was just.
What made it so bad?
The crowd was expecting some, like, real dirtiness and gritty humor, and then I'm up there going, like, hi, everyone, I'm Colombian, and there we go next, and doing all my little jokes, and they weren't down. It was like Mr. Rogers trying to entertain the crowd at Playboy Mansion.
It's not what they're looking for. What's the best show you've ever had?
Oh, the best show I ever had. Actually, it was a show that I got invited out to this, this place out in Yuma, Arizona, the Cocopa Casino out there. And they brought me out there. They gave me a hotel room.
How did you get that?
Another promoter comic, Andy Kern.
Okay.
Yeah, he worked with them, and he's like, yeah, you know, we're doing a comedy show. Invited me out there. We had, I think it was two crowds of about 400 each. We did two shows that night. And it was a proper stage, green room, good crowd. And then afterwards, that was one of the first times the crowd came to me afterwards and like, where's your merchandise? We'd like to buy stuff.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't have any. And, wow. Yeah.
Good,
that was a good
there,
good
huh?
lesson as a comic.
Yeah. Should have went to the market and got some coffee.
And coffee mugs and
crash out your name. Yeah. Gabby Coffee.
Oh, Gabby.
Totally. Wow. 400 people. That two shows in a row and 400 people.
Yeah.
And that was it sort of in a theater kind of thing?
Yeah, like, it was like a proper stage, curtains, a long theater setting. And they had a bar in the back and on the side, so people were drinking, having a good time. And afterwards, the crowds, that's one of the first places where I really felt that kind of comic vibe of you're an entertainer. The crowd comes to you and gets excited to take pictures with you. Can we get a picture?
Right.
And they're taking pictures like, oh my gosh, can you sign this? And
did you walk through a curtain to get onto the stage?
Yes.
How did that first moment look?
Oh, I was Johnny Carson at that point. Okay. I came out and I heard da 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 da. I'm like, yeah, I didn't look the part like Jesse.
It's pretty thrilling though, isn't it?
Yeah, it was exciting.
What I find too when you do a big crowd, like, maybe you feel this way too. You have to pause longer, and it's so different than doing a small room.
Yeah,
with that
many
people.
You get the waves of laughter where you can't cut them off.
Yeah.
You're just kind of running through your set.
Changes your timing a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like it's another skill of like learning how to do your set differently for a bigger crowd.
You do. You really have to. And you have to play off of, you can't just be looking at the small group in front. You really got to be playing the whole room.
You can't do crowd work.
No.
Yeah. All right. Where can they check you? Facebook, Twitter?
Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, Al Gavi. And you can also catch me, go to comedyheist.com and check out some shows coming up.
Nice. Have a great show tonight, buddy.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you for having me.
All right. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide internet talk. Call free now. Bye. 3 minutes. No, actually, too late. A week. Bye.
Thanks, guys.